One, we are continuing our conversation with Prince George's County's County Executive, Rushern Baker. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, taking as many calls as we can, so give us a call. Let me go to Danielle, calling from Mitchellville. Danielle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Sure. Can you hear me fine?
Yes. Go right ahead, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My question to Mr. Baker is, I moved here over 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Prince George's County is one of the, if not the wealthiest, majority black county.
That's correct.
What do you think the reason is that the schools, if you're putting the money toward it that you say you are, now we have the money from MGM, why is it that they continue to fail? Is it that black families, too many in the county, are putting their kids in private school, myself included? And mm-hmm. if so, what can you do to directly appeal to those families?
Yeah,
we have a 16-year-old that we've put through private school in the county, and now we find ourselves at a crossroads again with a 5-year-old who's about to start school in September. I'd love to be able to put her in public schools because our taxes support it, but I'm quite frankly afraid.
No, and I understand.
Offline.
No, thank you. And that's an appropriate question, and one that I struggle with. My wife and I did the same thing. We had to make a decision whether we were going to put our children in public school or not. And when we got here, it was a struggle. Here's the quick answer. It's one. The county has not invested in its public education the way that other places have in the past. So before we actually started to put more dollars in under this administration, I don't know if you realize it, but they had not seen an increase, a significant increase in their education dollars in 30 years. We had not invested in our schools in a consistent way with property taxes that would go directly to the schools. So that's one. The other is you're absolutely right. A number of our African-American families, a number of families are choosing not to go to our public schools because they felt like their children, one, weren't going to be safe, and two, would not get the quality education. That's starting to turn, and that is why we've directed more of our dollars to our education system, but we've also put accountability mechanism with it. And so we're not just giving the school system money and saying, hey, do what you want with it. When we gave them extra money, it was around for the first year that Dr. Maxwell came in. We wanted him to expand the language programs so that we would have Spanish immersion in our schools throughout, not just one place. And he's done that. I wanted all day pre-K. And we've done that in a number of our schools, but we've targeted the money that we've given to them to see changes. And that's why we celebrated this year the highest graduation rates in our county. 80% of our students are graduating. And with the additional resources we gave them, we didn't just, give them the money and say, hey, have at it. We said there are four schools that are struggling in the county in terms of graduation rate. That has to change. And so we're targeting the money there. So it's going to be an ongoing, effort on our part. I am glad to say real quick that we've seen enrollments go up in the county for the first time. We've had 3 years where enrollment of our students has gone back up, and we're starting to see changes. And for the first time since the 80s when my wife and I moved to the county, we had three schools. Two schools in the top 1,000 schools in the nation. You have Roosevelt and Oxon Hill, and then Bowie is right on the cusp of that. So we're starting to see the changes, and hopefully by the time your 5-year-old will go to our elementary schools.
Well, Danielle, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Yvette calling from West Virginia. Thanks for calling, Yvette. What's on your mind?
I'm from Bowie.
Oh.
And I have a question about solar panel credit. Given that we've had a positive cash flow from the casino, there is a 5-year wait for people who purchase solar panels and put it on their roof for the county credit. Will that credit wait go down?
That is a good question. It wouldn't. If you can. Send us a note at County Click or 311. I'll get you an answer on that because it wouldn't directly relate to the resources coming in for the casinos, but it may We may have shortened the time. So I just need to get you an answer on that.
Okay. All right. And I have one more question about, I think Prince George's County is a beautiful place to live, except for some of our residents tend to litter a lot. Is there anything that can be done to help change the way we think, some of us think about litter?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. It's not a setup. We did not prompt you to ask it. But we did put money in the Department of the Environment's budget to do two things. One, to increase our litter campaign, so to get the word out, to have make sure Prince George's County and state roads are free, are litter free. And the other thing is we're putting more money into actually go around and pick the trash up. So we do our green up cleanup in the county, and we're going to do more of that. So that is actually an increase in the budget this year.
Very good to hear. Thank
Yvette,
you.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Diane calling from Fort Washington. Diane, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. Good evening, Ms. Sharon. It's good to hear you on radio. My first question is this. What happened to the medical facility that was supposed to have been being built in PG County? That's one question. And my second question also is that I have a business called Mildred, and it focuses on advocacy for aging, mental health, and youth coming out of foster care. That being said, I wanted to know, one of my challenges has been finding housing for people with disabilities, not the ones that are, not so much the seniors, even young people who are disabled right. in our PG County, that I cannot seem to find housing for. Is there anything in line for housing being built for individuals with disabilities as well as for our seniors, because the baby boomers are coming out?
Let's talk about the hospital first, because that was a question that I also had, you know, for you. There's been a lot of back and forth between your administration and Annapolis not getting the money that you wanted.
No, I was quite mad and still am that the fact that the governor, even after the law passed last year that guaranteed the state's portion for this regional medical center, which will serve Prince George's County and the southern part of the state, so it's not just our county, that the governor left that money out of the budget. And so we went to Annapolis and we demanded that the legislature put the money back in. As of yesterday, the House in Annapolis has put the money back in for the operating and for the construction. But it is unconscionable that the governor would leave that money out after it's been allocated by the state lawmakers. And so it's simply unacceptable in Prince George's County, and we told them that way. And we're going to demand, and not only demand, we're going to make sure that money is in there. I'm going to make sure the money is in there at the close of the session. What we've done at in our budget is to put the $15 million that Dimensions Healthcare, Prince George's, needs right now to keep operating. So we're going to build this hospital, even if I have to, go kicking and screaming and drag the governor to the party. We're going to build it. We're going to break ground in the fall of this year. That's going to be, somewhere between a $650 to $750 million hospital. It's going to change the way healthcare is done in this county, but the southern part. But it also will be an economic boom to us, and so we're going to have it done. But it has not been an easy road, and that's unfortunate because we pay more taxes in Prince George's County than any other jurisdiction.
How much money did the House put back? And I know this is the Senate's also got to address this.
The Senate has to address it. The House put the $15 million back for operating. But the capital, which is the building, we had $11 million scheduled for this year. I think they put $10 million. But nothing is final until both the House and the Senate concur. And we put it on the governor's desk, and we dare him to veto it.
What about, quickly, housing for disabled individuals?
It is a tremendous problem. It's something that we are working on both from a health issue and from a housing issue. The caller is absolutely right. We're starting to see an uptick in senior housing, but what we haven't been able to see in a way that I would like to see is those who have developmental challenges. If you notice in our budget this year, we put money in to train 10 individuals that get county jobs who have developmental disabilities. But we also need places where they can live. I have great neighbors across the street from me who have challenges, and they live, they're roommates, they live together. They do a great job, but we don't have enough of those. And so it's something we're going to have to deal with in the county. We're trying.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call, Diane. Let me go to Lynn. Ah, here we go. Lynn is calling from West Virginia.
All right. Mountaineers.
Is that you, Lynn?
Yes, that's me.
Okay. There we go. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
First of all, good evening. I must say hello, fraternity brother.
Oh.
But I got a question for you. So I'm going to be real hard on you because I know you know how we roll.
Yes, I do.
I have actually lived in Maryland for 56 years. I moved to PG County in 1968, right after the riots in July.
Oh, wow.
So I grew up in PG County. And the one thing, now that I'm in education, my question to you is, I love a great building. I graduated from Northwestern. I'm glad to see that you're going to do all that. But I'm wondering this. When is someone going to give me part, as a teacher, some of this $40 million, $20 million, $36, give me $5? I really am not hearing a raise for teachers, paraprofessionals, the ones who really make education happen, the ones that are in the trenches. You know, it's a lot of demand on teachers, and particularly in Prince George's County.
Mm-hmm.
But good teachers are leaving, going to other counties, because we need to live.
That's right.
Which is why I'm in another whole state. I have to commute back. But I'm saying, for PG County to charge as much taxes as we paid over the years or what have you, basically, frat, where's the money?
I am so glad you asked. So the dollars that we put into the school budget this year will directly impact teacher salary raises. One of the commitments that I had for Dr. Maxwell when he came in is I wanted to see an increase in the salaries of our teachers and our principals that we were losing, who had 7 to 8 years experience. That's where we really were falling behind. Is it as high as we want? But no. But it is the start, and you'll start seeing it getting higher as we get into not only this year's budget but next year's budget, because we're starting to see the money come in from MGM that's going to directly in there. So in the budget itself is for teacher salary, and I think you'll see that. And you're absolutely right. We've lost too many teachers, or folks who had to teach elsewhere, go to other counties or other states, and we're going to start reversing that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Okay. I appreciate your phone call. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls. I also have more questions for County Executive Rashearn Baker from Prince George's County. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking to Prince George's County's County Executive Rashearn Baker about all things Prince George's County. I want to go back to the phone lines. James calling from Oxon Hill. James, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon. Mr. Baker, I'm a first-time resident in Prince George's County, Maryland.
Great. Oxon Welcome. Hill.
Thank you. And I also, my wife and I also voted for you. I had more of a concern than I recently moved into the Southview complex off of the Southern Avenue corridor. Mm-hmm. And I called into your office requesting street repairs. I got a number, ticket number. They assured me that it would be done. You know, they were behind in their workload.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did come out here and they did some subpar work because there were some water pipes sticking up out the ground. That was my concern. I don't know what kind of pipe, gas pipe or water pipe. They came in put some asphalt over top of the little holes. You know, the NH1 bus comes through here and the P12. Right. And from the Southern Avenue Quarter all the way up to Southview Drive at the end where the street is blocked off, the street is in terrible condition. I was wondering, when would you have a crew out here to do the repair work for our streets?
You know, let me do this, so I don't want to take your information over the phone, but let me, is there a way?
Yeah, our producer can get your information, James. So, yes. And she'll write it down. She will pass it on to the county executive's aide, who was also in the production booth with us, and that way he can get that information. Make sure you know, phone number, name, you know, all of that, shoe size, firstborn, all of that stuff.
Your email address.
Yeah, email address, everything.
Okay, I sure will.
And we'll take care of it.
Okay.
All right, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much. I want to ask you about some political things real quick before I go back to the phone lines. So you're going out of town tomorrow. You're going to the Eastern Shore. Are you going to run for governor or not? You're not going to go swimming.
No, I'm going down the Eastern Shore to really to talk to some students at Salisbury University and talk to some folks down there and just really talk about the things we've been able to do in Prince George's County. Yesterday, we announced a budget that was $4 million deficit. That's the smallest I've seen since I've been county executive. We've had to deal with $152 million in the past. But we've seen tremendous job growth in the county. Our crime rates are down. And so I'm going to go talk about those things and how great it is in Prince George's County. And then after the end of the session, I'm going to make a determination whether the skills and the things that I've learned as county executive can be used to help the state. I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned about what's going on statewide, what's going on in national impact. The Trump administration is going to have a tremendous impact on the state of Maryland, whether you're talking about the Affordable Care Act, whether you're talking about federal jobs, which are important to us in the state of Maryland. All of those things that as a state leader, we need to start addressing. And so I'm going to take a strong look at it.
What's going on with the FBI? There's been so much discussion about where it's going to be. There were meetings of just, I believe it was just last month, you know, these community meetings, you know, in Greenbelt as well as in Northern Virginia. Do you have any inkling whatsoever as to, you know, where the process is?
Well, I think that I feel good about our chances to get the FBI here. I think it's coming to Prince George's County. I can't tell you whether it's going to Greenbelt or Landover. I think they're two great sites. I think we always knew that having the money in place at the federal level was going to be a contingency and important. Senator Mikulski did a great job to get us halfway there. But the reason I think it's going to happen and it's going to happen this year and we're going to get an announcement is because, one, the men and women who work for the FBI, many of them are Prince Georgians and Marylanders, are in a building that needs to be condemned. You know, it is antiquated. It does not serve the purpose. It's dangerous in there. So they need to move to have a safe place and to have a place, a brand new place that can deal with the technology threats that we see around the world. So I think they're moving. And I think if the consolidated office is moved, it's going to go to Prince George's County because we have the best sites. And if you look at the number of bids, and I think that's an indication, there was only one bid on the Virginia site. On the two sites in Prince George's County, there were three bids. Mm-hmm. So it clearly a lot more interest. And I think it's coming here. And it's a $2.1 billion development. And not many of those come around. And so I think, is it happening in a time period that I'd like? No. I'd like to know tomorrow or today. But I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be great for the county. And what a story. I mean, who could tell a better story than the FBI was investigating us 6 years ago, and today we have the headquarters of the FBI.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alex, calling from Upper Marlboro. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yes, we certainly can. Go right ahead.
I've got a question about the land along 4 or Pennsylvania at Suitland. I guess the so-called Westphalia
development. Yes.
What's the status of that? And if it comes to fruition, what's the eventual scope of it? And do you have, if that's it, and are there any retailers that have committed to that property? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thank you. Yes, it's a development that would be as big if it's in full scale, almost as big as what you see in Tyson's Corner. But that's a number of year development. That's probably a 10 to 15 year development completely out. It is moving forward. There are townhouses that are being built there right now. And I can't announce it, but because they haven't announced it, but there are some retailers that they've contacted, that are slated to go there. There's a grocery store. So it is moving along. As the caller may remember, that project was stalled for about 10 years. And we came into office and work with the developer there to make sure that it moved forward. And so it's going to happen. It's going to be great for the central part of our county.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Michael. Michael calling from D.C. Michael, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As a district resident, I've been following Mr. Baker, and I think he's doing a great job, and I think he should run. I do support him. But I do have some concerns. The numbers and the studies all show that the numbers in the District of Columbia as it pertains to homelessness are rising drastically. Right. But on the ground, we all know that a lot of people are simply jumping over the line into the district from PG County saying, hey, I'm homeless. Because they know the district offers services. Also, returning citizens. The same thing happens for returning citizens. We've got a great program, Project Empowerment, but it becomes to get overwhelmed when that again happens when people jump over the line from PG. And so, what are you doing, and what are your plans to create a Project Empowerment? You have a great program that's right here that you can partner with or take notes from. What is your plan to deal with the issue of homelessness and returning citizens for people so that they can stay in the county that they actually live in and don't have to come over here?
Right. Now, the caller is absolutely right. That's why at the very beginning of Mayor Bowser's administration, we signed an agreement, not just Prince George's County, but Montgomery County, that all three jurisdictions would commit to dealing with the homelessness issue so that we didn't have one jurisdiction overwhelmed. And we did see that in the past because, district is a city state, so there are more revenues, more resources there. But it's unfair. Just like, if we had all Section 8 housing in Prince George's County, it would be overwhelmed. So the caller's right. We're working together on the homelessness issue. So it is a joint task force. Not just the district, it's the district, Montgomery County, and Prince George's County. And I'm fully committed to that. On the second issue, the caller is also right. What we've developed is our own returning citizens program in the county. We modeled a lot of it off of what's going on in the District of Columbia. We'd like a great number of the resources that we see in the District of Columbia that they get both at the state, at the federal level and the local level. And so we've been hammering the legislature in Annapolis to say, we're going to get the bulk of the returning citizens to Prince George's County, and we need your help to joint venture with us. But we've moved forward with a program. We're very excited about the things we're doing. We're also working with the faith community and the housing community so that when our citizens come back, there's job training, there's housing, and there's moral support and health support because a lot of them are coming back with issues. So while our program isn't up to the par what the district has, I'm very pleased that, we're doing a lot of work in that area.
Thank you so much for your phone call. Mr. Baker, I want to ask you in this last few minutes, you are certainly aware of the impact of gentrification on the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. Particularly just on the other side in Southeast D.C. And so what we're having is you're having, the working class folks that are being pressed out of Anacostia, and a lot of them are looking for housing, jobs and the like inside the Beltway. What impact do you believe that D.C.'s gentrification is having on Prince George's?
What we've done in the county is, and that's why we're excited about the workforce housing program. We welcome everyone to Prince George's County. We've been very pleased to see, and this budget reflects it, is that we've had a mix of incomes that are moving to the county. So for the first time in a while, since I can remember, our income actually went up in Prince George's County. And what we want to do is make sure that people who live in Suitland, who live in Cheverly like I do, as we redevelop along those areas, can remain in those homes, and that there's opportunities for other people to do like my wife and I, and to move in those houses as first-time buyers. That's why our housing programs are in our first-time homeowners program is so important. That's why our commitment to doing development where we can ourselves. So in Suitland, we're acting as the developer. If that works well, then we'll do the same thing in the Mount Rainier area so that we keep the cost low, offer more opportunities for people who are county residents to participate in this growth. And so we're excited about, you know, the growth in the county and the ability to have a wide spectrum. I'll close it. That is my wife said she wanted to live in a place that was racially diverse and economically diverse. And that's what we want in Prince George's County.
I think that's a good way to end this program. Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Good to see you. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR or H Fisher WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.